Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So I guess on this auspicious day of Vaisak, the full moon in May, that I offer some reflections about the legacy of the Buddha, one man's search for truth, meaning 2,500 years ago, and and like I said, it's something that obviously resonates in each and every one of us. And that's why we're here. Looking for meaning of life, looking for truth, looking for some sense of freedom and ultimate liberation. I think what the Buddha offered, you know, like, first to say, like to say over and over again, first he was a human being. And by his own efforts, he realized the ultimate liberation. And that's a great implication for each and every one of us. What the Buddha offered was, you know, compassion, wisdom, simplicity. And that's something that's kind of still sorely needed in this world of ours. This, you know, kind of modern, complicated, at times alienating world. And just reflect, you know, that the peace and compassion, stillness that he offered is something that's, you know, very, very much needed in the here and now. But it's something that still, each and every one of us, that, you know, we can cultivate a bit of it each and every day. And today I was just, you know, reflecting, what does it mean? Enlightenment, and you know, how can we kind of head towards it? And reflecting on the life of the Buddha, you know, obviously he had a lot of spiritual perfections, the barami, people said, of cultivating over many, many lifetimes, according to the legends. And then obviously after 6 years of search with different teachers, through his own effort, different ascetic practices, he became enlightened under the Bodhi tree. And then out of compassion, he tried to kind of put down the training, the teaching for people who came back, came after him to realize the same thing. And I was saying over again, you know, yes, having the aspiration towards enlightenment, having aspiration for truth and peace, it's a very good starting point. But that's not enough to take you there. Right? And the Buddha realized that, okay, he had a lot of spiritual perfection, so he can sit down the Bodhi tree and after 6 years and bang, it's done. But for other people, he realized that, it's good to lay down some kind of training, to lay down a core, an educational system to lead people towards these things. And I think that's the thing that that's the core of the Buddha. It's, you know, it's an education system he left behind, a training. We all want to be happy, we want to be free from suffering, but one thing is just a starting point. That's not enough to get you there. You have to train for it. Like I'm telling people over and over again, yeah. You may not realize when you come here. Yes, this is an academy. We have moved on from that. This is more than an academy. It's an Olympic village. You know, you watch the Olympics, you see that, you know, people do these great things, you know, running very quickly, do this fantastic flips and gymnastics. And as humans, we all have the potential, you know, got legs and arms. In theory, yeah, we can all do the same things. But in reality, it's not how that works. There is hours and hours of dedication of training. There's a craft to doing these things. And it takes time, cultivated. takes persistence. You know, there's lots of strong people, lots of fast people who can run. But a person who takes home the gold is something that not only is he gifted with a good body, he's also very, very dedicated. Day in and day out, just training, running, knowing the mechanics of running, knowing the nutrition, the science, how that works. He's just doing it day in and day out. And it's the same with training the mind. You know, we may have the aspirations to cleanse the mind. And we may have the good intention. But that needs to be coupled with. It needs to be strengthened and cultivated over long periods of time through the training of sila, of harmlessness, of restraint, of conduct, impeccable conduct. And then once you get that established, using that to steal the mind, and then moving on towards wisdom. And it's also, it's always gradual. We all want to move towards the end of wisdom. But when you start to practice, you see that it's not not something that we can skip to. Something that we develop gradually over and over time. And but each and every, along the way, there is the result. There is, increased sense of well-being, increased sense of peace, increase the sense of stillness, and the good qualities start to develop, to show themselves. Qualities of care and compassion, qualities of more patience, of energy, of steadiness. Right? And that's another thing I reflect on. Sometimes the Samma Sambuddha, the reflect, is the perfectly enlightened. But Samma is also, I think one of the scholars said, it's more of a balance. Yeah? So this is a path of steadiness, of balance. It's not the whoosh of bright sounds and colors, ups and downs, but it's the steadiness, just day in, day out, keeping a calm mind, keeping a steadiness. And then cultivating the wholesome qualities takes work. It doesn't arise by themselves. It's not very good to say, love and respect and light and everything's wonderful. But how does that translate? And that's why I think living in community, we need to, we want to be compassionate. We want to be loving and supportive. But how do we do that in action? You can say you love this place, have so much respect for it, appreciate it. But how does that translate? Living dirty dishes for other people to take care of. That's not love and compassion in action. Leaving a dirty kuti for other people to clean after you. That's not love and compassion, no matter what you say it is. Right? So sometimes the training is just like maturity of looking around that we affect each other in different ways. What we don't do and what we do affect each other. So sometimes a bit more clarity. We understand that our speech affects others. So out of love and compassion, we restrain it. We know that we may affect each other, might disturb each other, intentionally, unintentionally. So in public areas, we try to kind of restrain that. And when we do our chores, we put the best, we put as much focus, energy, much dedication doing the chores as best as possible. Just out of gratitude, out of respect for the people who kind of donate, people who looked after this place in the past. I want to do it a bit. And that's kind of sense of energy, arousing clarity. It's also the same type of qualities that we bring to meditation. Yeah, so sometimes what we do outside of meditation, it's not disconnected. It's not a different person that sits down and meditate. Yeah, it's the same attitude of mind. But as we increase our clarity, we see that clearly. So it's the compassion, the wisdom. It's the brightness or sharpness of it. It's not the dullness of, just me and my world and nobody else exists outside of that. As you train yourself, mind calms down, we see clearly. We see that, yes, there are other people that share the space I'm in. that our actions affect others in different ways. And so we want to take care of that. We do. That is, we want to express our compassion in action, and day in and day out. Of being, fewness of wish, contentment, with restraint. Because sometimes in the restraint, the modern word restraint, whatever you think, you just say it. Whatever you want, you do. And which is fine to a certain extent. But in monastic life, that's what we try to rein in, to curb. You don't have to do. Just because you can doesn't mean you have to. Just because you think it doesn't mean you have to express it in speech or in body. But after a while, you see that this practice of restraint, the practice cultivating wholesome state, after all, the energy starts to build up. And then we see, we feel, a sense of well-being, a sense of confidence, a sense that, the teaching of the Buddha starts to become alive in our minds. And that these ideas, these feelings we have, we can take it from just a conceptual basis. Learn to love, to respect, to accept each other, but into a more concrete level, to express that in each of our interaction with each other, to be care and compassionate, to be present, to support each other in a way that is kind of meaningful, creative. Yeah, we're just walking, seeing the full moon coming out. Yeah, I don't know, for some reason, today is one of those kind of very magical, quiet, just reflecting on everywhere in the world, in Thailand, everybody's kind of celebrating the life and times, the legacy of the Buddha. So kind of connecting ourselves to something that's kind of very, very old, but also very, very kind of precious. So the qualities that the Buddha expressed, qualities that Buddha stood for, peace, compassion, those kind of universal. And, feeling part of kind of the Dhamma wheel spinning through time, spinning through space. Enhancing, developing wholesome qualities, spreading peace and compassion, spreading kindness, spreading the teaching of meditation. Yeah, just kind of a very kind of a feeling content, happy. Just look around this sala today. Different people coming together, usually with, kind of uninvited. And it's great. It's kind of a low-key celebration of peace and stillness. This is how the true celebration of Wesak should be. Just a small group of people sitting together, cultivating stillness, cultivating silence. So I think on this kind of full moon night, the true focus is the Buddha, and something that we reflect. What does that mean? Buddha's enlightenment, the training the Buddha left behind. And as we just kind of sit and walk throughout the night, like I said, tonight is a night of, encourage people just to kind of to cultivate wakefulness throughout the night. You're not expected to sit in deep samadhi, but it is with anything. It's kind of an offering, a giving up, lying down. Just out of inspiration of the Buddha, or giving up, lying down, out of kind of an offering to your parents, an offering to the supporters who come and fed us, offering to all those people in the past who kind of built this monastery, maintained it. It's more of a giving up, an offering, and see what happens. We sit and walk. Just a bit of religion, just to kind of to push the boundaries of what you think is possible, or just to sit with the slight unpleasantness of not being able to lie down, and just to work with different states. So you know, obviously, cultivating energy, cultivating faith, cultivating a bit of focus, silence. Yeah, so we're just going to leave that for your reflection of the Buddha's enlightenment and his gift to the world. But in terms of the schedule for later on, is that after this we can sit and walk and people can have a break. And then we will chant the Itipiso starting midnight. So if you want to join in that, be back here by midnight. And we can sit to... and then I think the suggestion is to have a break between on the 54. We do 108, so we have to break at 54 for 10 minutes, go on to another one. Then after that, we continue sitting and walking, and then we come back again at 3:30 to do a short chant and to finish up. That's not to leave, 3:45.
Andamayang dhamma gataya sadhu karang dadama se
sadhu sadhu sadhu.